Do you follow my point? You know, I've told you that nobody goes, that is not a good testimony to go around saying that, you know, I'm a very stupid person, but yet God made me above because I'm above alone and not beneath. That's not what God was talking about. God said, I will make you no longer stupid but wise. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, Ben Carson became Ben Carson because one, he was a doorman, then his God helped his mother to train him to become smart. He got to where he got to by the help of God, but the first thing God did for him was to make him the top. And I'm still going to talk about building on the word of God. That's why actually the main thing I'm trying to explain today. Because he will tell you one of the experiences he had to go through. Like, he was a poor boy when he was in school. He had a mother that was slaving to send him and his brother to school. If I one day say he wanted fine clothes like everybody else, and his mother said, okay, here is the accounts. Here are the bills. Sit down and buy the clothes. The guy sat down, he went through it, and then said, Mommy, you must be a magician. How do you manage to do all that you do on this little amount of money? He got the point. He stopped desiring fine clothes. Are you following the point I'm making? Now, in everything, he said one particular day he was in class. They gave them a test. Now, they told them, read this. And then they brought some. And the test was very difficult. It was a day that he was exceedingly broke, didn't have a dime. The whole class decided that they are going to run away and claim they did not know that the test was going to hold. Or something like that. Tell you a long story. He said he told himself that that would not be right. So everybody missed. He was the only one sitting in class. He did not know that that day his professors were testing for the most honest person in class. So he sat down there. He couldn't lie about it. So when they came in, he saw the man smiling. What is the problem? The man dipped down his wallet and gave him $10 as a gift for being the most honest boy in that class. I'm explaining something. Success later in life is not just the aspiration for success. First thing God does is to build certain things into your mind. That's what he was saying here, that you have known the sacred scriptures, which is able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. He said this learning and this wisdom come from one place, verse 16, all scripture that is inspired by God. Are you following the point I'm making? I'm bringing out some important principles here, that enduring success is not about setting the right physical principles, but having the right climate in your heart that always brings success outside. Do you follow my point? So what is God doing for you in life? God is training you in righteousness. Notice what he said. He said, for training in righteousness. We did a series then called Training to Reign. I consider disc one of that series as the singular most important message I've ever preached. I called it Take Hold of the Kingdom. That's Training to Reign, tape one. It's so important because once you have taken hold of the kingdom, without doubt, your life will naturally manifest dominion on the earth. That's the issue. So he said, all scripture is inspired by God. What does God use it for? To train you so that you will get to a point that you will be convinced of something. Listen, when they say, have faith, do not doubt. Faith is a matter of persuasion. Don't make that mistake of thinking faith is how much you can steal your mind and refuse to doubt. Doubt and faith, they are matters of persuasion. The degree of doubt in your heart is the degree to which you are not yet fully persuaded. So when God wants to remove doubt, what he does is to continue training you so that you will get to the point of being fully convinced. Then doubt is gone automatically. I'm emphasizing that what God does is uses two things. Number one, the instruction of the scripture and the experiences in your life. The problem is that a lot of people, they want to run away from experience. And let me tell you how to run away from experience. The thing that will take you away is usually a sin, an iniquity. You want to take a visa, you lie that your father owns half of Enugu and you have a wife and five children. You know, you are a single boy whose father owns only 2 plots of land somewhere in maybe Katsina State. Are you getting what I'm going to say? But you get all the papers. Once you start doing that, once they sell a visa to you with a name that is not your own, know you are using iniquity to run away from the training of God. Because listen, Christianity is not a guarantee against adversity. I don't know what I get. What I want to say, the fact that you have faith, are you getting my point? That your faith is a dominion kind of faith does not mean you won't go through adversity. God sends adversity, yes. I don't care what the Word of Faith movement tries to make it appear as if it doesn't. He does. I always say, who sent adversity to the life of Job? It wasn't Satan, it was God. What do you mean? Satan had given up on Job. No, so. You want, you have to understand, God even took responsibility. God said, you inspired me against him. That's the way it is. That is, God said, I'm the one that went against him. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, does God bring adversity? Yes, he does. But you see, he said, so that I might do you good at the end. When you cane your child, that is adversity. But like God says, he will discipline you with one hand and then pull you back with the other one, nurse you with the same hand. And this is the sign of a true child of God. He said, yes, he has afflicted us. He will heal us. That is, we will not run away. And I noticed that thing as a sign in a child. I really saw it in my kids then. It's really like when he was very small. If I twerk his bum bum like we say in the house, nobody else can make him stop crying. It has to be me. Are you getting my point? You are the one that beat him. So it's as if he starts following you around. He will stop crying when you now pick him up and say, okay, sorry. It's as if now I have been reconciled back to God. Are you following my point? What am I saying? That everything you go through in life, God is using it to fine-tune your faith. He said, don't be in a hurry. You have to get this point. He that believes really will not make haste. Don't forget what I said at the beginning. At the age of 30, Joseph was prime minister. At the age of 79, Moses was a former prince in the court. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he's now a prince of sheep and goats. And are you getting what? Do you not remember 79? 79? Yet, at the end of his life, Moses is still a story. Are you getting what I'm saying? Moses is a reference point till today. So you are not competing with anybody. But for the assignment that God had for Moses, he needed 40 years in the wilderness to finish polishing him. People say it was because he took the wrong step first. Listen to me. You cannot help but take the wrong step first until you have been trained on how to not to take the wrong steps. And training you on how not to take the wrong steps is not just by telling you, don't take. You have to take some critically wrong steps and suffer judgment. And these consequences of those wrong steps, like David would say, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I obey your word. What was he saying? It was necessary that I went through that affliction so I will learn proper obedience. The Bible said concerning Jesus Christ that he learned obedience from what? The things that he suffered. It wasn't from inspiration, though. Listen, it is a lie of the gospel for them to tell you that, listen, in Christ, there's never any trouble. Listen, God said, at the end, that's what I'm looking at. That is, I train you for certain places. After polishing the ears and the nose and the bum of Joseph, first in Potiphar's house, then in jail, he was now ripe for what? For the crown. Like I always say, where you are today cannot tell us where you'll be literally tomorrow morning. I don't mean that tomorrow as in the next phase of your life. No, you may depart from here today, and that is the last we see of you on this level. On Sunday, maybe I tell you that we will meet for church. Sunday, say, where this guy? Say, somebody called him early in the morning. I heard he has taken the first flight. He's going to maybe Lagos or Port Harcourt. Okay. He said he'll come back by Thursday. Thursday, you check in house. He said, wow. The guy called us maybe Wednesday night, saying they had to take off immediately. They are going to maybe somewhere in Australia. Now, next time you see the guy, it's 2 years afterward. You look at him, he's very different. Now, I'm not kidding about whether he has now is now chopping life. I don't want to use those illustrations again. It's very, very ungodly. Are you getting my point? You know what he's chopping life? It's the amount of influence that he's wielding now. Are you getting my point? By which he's spreading righteousness. That's what I like to talk about. He'll now start telling you stories. It's a literal case of the king sending for him and losing him, even the rulers of the people. Are you following the point I'm making? So what's God doing? Bringing us to that point of full persuasion. Now, please, like I told you before, that actually what I wanted to review is the continuation of it I'm going into today, and so it's just all right. But let me explain this again. The whole aim of everything, listen to this, the whole aim of everything is so that you might become conformed to that image of Christ. Do you get my point? Now, let me get back to something, one principle that we all know. Hebrews chapter 11 says that by faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of things that are visible. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read that all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. They wither, that is, the grass withers and the flower fades when the breath of God blows upon it. He said, but the word of God abides for how long? Forever. That is, anything that you will have in life that will abide forever must be a product of what the word of God has built in your heart. Do you get my point here? I'm trying to bring out a principle that what comes out on the surface as enduring success is that which was built into the heart with the word of God. So Paul said in Acts chapter 20, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Now that does two things. One, he builds you up, and that is first. He builds you up and then delivers to you your own inheritance. You know, I was sharing with that man of God, I was telling you about Reverend Kola, the day I went to see him, when I went to see him, we're discussing. He's an older man, so we're really learning a lot from him. Then I wanted to ask him a question, so I brought out something like about this weight. And they told me some things, and you know, that a lot of people fail because the success, physically speaking, that they have is kind of weight. You know, you heard me say it before, that what you call success in life is actually what? A responsibility, a bigger responsibility that God places upon you. That what people call wealth is because of our misperception, what we have seen wrongly demonstrated by people. Wealth is not how much you can enjoy, but how much you can influence. Bill Gates said that it takes as much brain to give out money as it takes to make it. That is, it's a responsibility to even be a philanthropist. It's not just like I have so much money, I can just throw it around. You're getting my point. So I now said that to the man. I wanted to ask him a question or to bring out some issues so he could enlighten me. Then he told me something. He said, that is literal. That the word doxa in the Greek that describes glory, are you following my point, is actually weight. I said, I did not even know this. That is, there is a weight of glory. Are you following my point? That is, before God births something in your life, he has to first build you up. I've told it before. The things that spring up quickly are the ones that die quickly. It's called petrol anointing. You know, it catches fire instantly and it is extinguished instantly. One of the things that Satan has sold to young men and women today is hurry. Quick. Your friends are doing it. Your friends are making it. Your friends are doing this. I said, look, that's my friend. Like I always say, you know, I'm happy God has given me some mouths to talk. You know what I mean? Some mouths to talk. It may not appear great, but some things bring me satisfaction. See, your friends are doing this. I say, how many of my friends teach at 5 o'clock every Saturday? Do you understand my point? I don't care whether my friend has bought, you know, he is so rich, maybe in America or Australia. Does he come to Enugu every Saturday at 5 p.m. to teach the word of the kingdom? No. That means we are not on the same agenda. What am I going to say? I am not competing with anybody. It doesn't concern me. I am just in the appropriate season. Listen, let me emphasize this. So I wanted to talk about that wisdom for salvation. Maybe I'll connect it from here. Listen to this. What you are supposed to do in life is that issue of patience that we talked about. Learn the work of your patience for now and do it. Whatever result you see, you bless God for it and relax. What do I mean by work of patience? Don't ever forget this. Let me emphasize this again. Psalm 1. You know what God said in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who does not walk. I like in James, there's a reason. He said, who walketh? Are you following my point? Not. That is, it is where a man walks that decides whether he's blessed or he's not. So if he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, that is, he has a passion, a delight for God's word. Do you know God respects people? He said, the Bible says that God is not the respecter of persons. I have explained something before. When the angel came to Daniel, he said, Babake, you are highly esteemed. That's what he told Daniel. He said, the first day you prayed, we dispatched an answer. He said, why? Because you are highly esteemed. God said, to this one I will look. The one that is of a contrite and humble spirit who trembles at my word. Listen, I told you, Paul planted, Apollos watered. What God wants from you is to plant the right seeds And what is the right seed? We did that series on radio, building a great future for your life. Seed number one is faith. So your responsibility in life is actually to walk with God to build up your faith. And number one thing is to give attention to God's word. Why am I saying this? Because I want to say this. When you have done that and are doing it, you get my point? You don't just do it and say, okay, God, I've studied enough. What's the next thing? They say, okay, number two is praise you. Okay, dear Lord, be praised, be praised, be praised. What's the next thing? Number three, give. All right. Anybody broke there? Okay, take. All right, what's the next one? No. God is not trying to, he's not a manufacturing company with a checkoff list. Do this. No. So with God, when God says you have finished doing something, you know what I'm actually saying? You have reached a position in which you have settled in doing it. Are you following my point? If God says, like, if a man is a giver, he doesn't say, I've given enough to break through. I have now reached a position in life where I am a giver. Are you following my point? If I have reached a position of rest, it's not like God have rested. Can you give it to me? No, you have not rested. When you have rested, listen to this. Whether he gives it or not, you are not troubled. You are getting the point I'm making here. Let me tell you, look, God has really caused me to understand some of these things. Before God breaks through, let's talk about material wealth. Before God breaks through upon you with material wealth, listen to this. At that point, you will no longer care whether it does or not. Listen, if you want to endure, if it is fame, before God gives you fame, first thing he takes you to is the point where you will no longer care whether you are famous or not. You are getting my point. If you are still struggling and praying and interceding so that you might get wealth, you won't get it. What you need to struggle and intercede and pray for is so that your mind, your heart will get to the place where you will no longer care. Do you follow my point? At that point, you will be able to really walk with God. That is when you really can lay down your life and not care about it. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. That's what God is working. It's building up your heart, your spirit to that particular point. Look, I remember one story I heard. A girl says she's been going to, every prayer meeting she's been there. Every prayer meeting. One day she told her friends, I give God till December. If he doesn't give me a husband, I'll just go and collect pregnancy from anywhere. And now understood why God had not given her all the while. Because the prayer, everything is to get a gift from God. God said, don't forget this. The Bible says God is not what? Mocked. Of course, when you give God such criteria, you know what he does? God will say, who do you want to punish? Me? All right. Go now. Then when you have suffered, you will see how much less of God I have become. Do you follow my point? Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, I believe that as preachers, we have wronged the people of God. We have made it appear as if, do you know how you get success? Do this for success. Do this for success. Do this for wealth. Do this for victory. Do this, do this, do that. So the man is doing it and doing it and doing it. And the good Lord who loves you so much will not let you start life on the wrong principle. He will frustrate every result you were expecting. There were practices people try to teach me as the key to success, to wealth, those days as a young student. The first time I practiced it, they stole everything I had. God said, you see, before now, they take your thing. No. The first day you did it, they carry on. Are we getting ourselves clear? I said yes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, don't start on the wrong premise. Are you getting my point? So what is God really saying? The real seed is the word in your heart, building you up actually to the very image of Christ. And this is one thing that marks out Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Let's read it again. He said, have this mind. I like that word from the King James. My Bible uses the word attitude. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. Now, let me just jump because of time to verse 8. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He said, for this reason also, God highly exalted him. I'm bringing out this point, that before God highly exalts somebody, the person must be ready to be humbled. And listen, we have misinterpreted scripture as if we're the one that wrote it. When God was saying that, it was not an attitude for an end. Do you get my point? It is not humility to get. He was just stooping because it was the thing necessary for this servant of God to do. So God said, until you have that attitude, I'm not exhorting you. And you know, I told you that one thing I learned was that before God gives you anything, he first brings you to the point where you don't care. So when he gives it to you, he has really done, as far as you are concerned, nothing don't happen. That's Christianity. So that you see the man today, when all is commanding, financially speaking, a 50,000 naira business here and there, you see him when he's commanding 50 billion naira, he's still the same. Are you getting my point? Certain things have not become beneath him now. Therefore, if one day he comes and God says, enough of that kind of ministry, let me use the word ministry, I want you now to become a missionary in the Congo, he's still the same. The rest of us will say, ah, humble man. Very humble. He actually laid aside everything. The time he laid it aside, I told you, was before you ever heard of him. You are following the point. And that's what God is building, both through the word and through experiences. He wants to bring you to this point where you have this mind, this perspective, this image of Christ in your heart. Then he can do anything on earth through your life. I like what the Reverend Osho said, that God has emphasis. That is, the word of God is in three realms. He said there is the written word of God, there is the current word of God, and then there is the spoken word of God or the rhema word. What he meant by current, that's what I want to bring out, is that, and I think I was saying something at that time, I think it's a good way to explain it, that you may hear a kind of word coming again and again and again and again, all right? That is just the kind of emphasis God is laying at that particular point in time. That is not all the truth there is. I'm bringing out a point. In the body of Christ, I believe it was inspired by God. So much had been preached about prosperity and this and that, but it had been corrupted by a wrong attitude in the heart of the people. Are you following my point? So preachers said that this is the way to become prosperous. Now, no, listen. It was important the church got taught the ministry, all right, of wealth and all that. But it had not changed anything. That is, the basic principle of God was still that anything you want to be in life, you must first become like Christ first. Then we can make you into anything. But people thought God was a money doubling machine. Are you getting what I'm saying? What is really the true ministry is to build people up into the image of Christ. When they have hit that image in whatever degree that God says it's all right for them to start manifesting certain things, the next thing that begins to happen is that they begin to hear what I call the wisdom for salvation. What do I mean by wisdom for salvation? The man is the image of Christ. God can make him into anything. So God says, okay, I want you to go and educate people for me. Education. Then ideas begin to come into his heart. That is the wisdom for salvation. Do you understand the point I'm making? God says, okay, I want you to now literally, be a financier of the gospel or the helper. You know, listen, poor people don't help poor people. You know that. Do you understand my point? If you are hungry, you cannot feed the poor. It's true now. Am I lying to you? So if God wants to feed the poor, he has to make the man who is going to feed the poor rich. Do you follow my point? So God says, okay, this is your own assignment. You will now be one to be feeding the poor. How does the man get the money? God gives him what I call the wisdom for salvation. He begins to see ideas where other people didn't see it. Are you following the point I'm making? Oh, the man is a preacher. God says, okay, you'll be a great evangelist. Fine. Somebody else is educating people. One is feeding the poor. One is going to be a great evangelist. God gives him what to do. Now, the problem people have is that they copy their methods for success. Not knowing that it's not like that. There was a word to him which was the wisdom for his own salvation. Do you follow my point? That Jesus healed people in different ways. He will come to somebody who's blind, be opened, the eye pops open. He goes to another person who is also blind, and he will now make clay with no spittle, put on the man's eyes and said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Are you getting the point? And listen, the Bible said there were others. This was how they got healed. They touched his garment. There was a time that everyone that touched his garment was healed. Therefore, it's not a matter of methods. It's the heart that has been built up
into the knowledge and the image of Christ Jesus, having the right attitude, then God begins to give each one the wisdom for his own salvation. Look, there are things I have done and I'm planning to do or I'm doing concerning ministry and all that. That one day I told my wife, I said, I'm not sharing with anybody again. Why? Because every time I try to explain, stories will come. No. You don't understand. They begin to talk. Now I leave the thing. You know why? They do not understand. That is the wisdom for my own salvation. Do you follow my point? T.D. Jakes may do it one way. I am not T.D. Jakes. We are not the same. He doesn't speak the tongue I speak. So his wisdom for salvation is different from mine. Remember what I told you about Bishop David Oyedepo? God said, this is how it will happen. And he got up and began to teach seminars every month. For him, it was wisdom for salvation. Ron Kenoly, what happened? He just said, I'm not singing again. Let me just go to church and be doing choir master. While doing choir master, one of the directors of Integrity Music came for the service and heard this man direct the choir and said, what is going on here? There was a man, a very, very wealthy young man, at least for his age, and doing well in the business that he has chosen. The day he was going to break through, he was settled in Lagos, settled and hungry. You know what I mean by settled and hungry? Then somebody said, come to Port Harcourt now. His friend said, no, this is where issue is, this is where money. Then the guy got up and went to Port Harcourt to go and do one job and never went back. That journey was the wisdom for his salvation. You follow what I'm trying to say? That is what the training in righteousness does for you. It makes you wise unto salvation. It gives you the wisdom for salvation. But you see, I told you, enduring success, what really endures is the state of the heart. As long as that state of the heart is there, physical things, God, you wake up in the morning, another wisdom for salvation drops. Use that for a season. God just, you wake up one morning, God just helps you to understand that season has passed. Another wisdom for salvation drops. But the men who are only copying your wisdom for salvation, they die in the season because they are not connected to the source of the wisdom for the salvation in the next season. You understand what I'm saying? That is, what is the passport, the key to enduring success, therefore? Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. There was something Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Let's quickly go there. He said it from verse 7. He said, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, that this is the goal, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now please notice this, not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect. That's what he was talking about. I have not yet known him as I should. He says, so I press on that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on, please notice the word press on, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now please let me jump because there's something I really want to get to. Verse 15. He said, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Let me explain something here. What he was saying, if you read from verse 16 and then back up a bit, he was saying that in each phase in life, you get to a particular standard. Are you getting my point? And you keep living by that standard. Now, I said something earlier, that what God is doing is actually training us in righteousness. But he said in verse 15, that to move up to another standard, notice this point. He said,
as many as are perfect, they should have this attitude. He said, if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. What I'm explaining here is this. The goal, the pathway to enduring success is to follow this path of having a quest of knowing God more every day. Now listen to this. What God does with your experiences is to expose to you the areas in which you have an attitude different from that which Christ Jesus wants you to have. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You know, I was telling Brown today, I said maybe some of these people are groomed that they are not well paid. All of them should be sent to the mission field for 1 year. That is bush, where you will empty your barrels in the bush, bath by the roadside. Are you following my point? And sleep on ordinary floor. That if you sit down like that for a year, you will learn a new attitude of service. Are you getting my point? Well, I'm using that to explain something. That the problem we have is that in different areas of life, we have a different attitude. All right? Compared to that God wants us to have. Remember, I don't know what we're talking about, then I explained the issue of Anna. That Anna needed a child, yes. God said, your attitude about having a child is wrong. I can't give you one now. So for years, they were arguing, who does the husband love most? Penina said, look at you. You see all my children? Then the woman was praying, God, give me a child so that Penina can shut up. God said, no problem. I'm not going to give you a child so that Penina can shut up. So he made Penina talk even louder. Then went out of desperation. He said, God, give me a child, then I'll give him back to you. Because at last, Gabriel, this woman wanted to wear us out with this kind of delay in understanding the purpose of God. The moment she understood that purpose, Eli came and said, by this time next year, we'll dedicate the child. You follow my point? That is, to get the results that she was looking for, she had to get the right attitude. And I've told you today that two things God uses. One is his instruction in the word. The number two, he gives you experiences, which Satan always gives you the opportunity to run away from. How do you know it's Satan? He will just tell you, break this law of God and you're free. Then you know it is Satan. Like when God wanted to take Job away from the standard he was on onto another standard. God said, Satan, how far? You want to tempt? Satan said, aha, who am I to refuse the opportunity to tempt? Then they came and said, curse God and die. That was what human beings thought. But in reality, curse God and miss the next level that God wants to lift you up to. But God said, Job had an attitude that didn't let him get to that point. What was that attitude? I have done right. I have been blessed for doing right. Therefore, he had a degree of pride in his heart that was not founded upon faith, the proper faith in God. It was founded actually upon the law. Job was an interesting example of that. God said, the law can take you thus far. It has helped you. But Job, I see the love you have in your heart for me, but you don't have understanding. Let's move to another level. So he allowed Satan to tempt him. Then Elihu could speak to him for the first time you see what Bildad and all the other guys said to him? They were the same things that Job knew. Because they will talk and talk, and Job will say, listen, I have that same understanding. You have not answered my question. When everything he had failed as per knowledge, he realized that something is going on. Then the youngest guy there, Elihu, got up and began to speak. When he responded to the word of Elihu, he realized that common men like me are not my standard. It is God. And if I realize that anyone standing before God cannot be guiltless, that if God is your standard, you know there's so much more to attend to. The moment he realized that God said it's on the way to another level, his captivity was turned. What am I going to explain? He could have bought his way out of that trouble by cursing God. Then he would have died and would never have read the story of Job. Do we know how many men took the counsel of their wives and cursed God and died and we never read their stories? I keep on reminding people so that they will know that. It's not as if every time it always was like that. No, God brings people to a level and says, make a choice, and you go up to another level. But when he's doing that, it's in the fullness of affliction. No? Things are rough. No, Satan won't come and tell you, see, as God don't bless you so, curse God and die. Ah, he said, die, which one is a matter of death here? Who wants to die? No, it's when things are rough. When life is tough. That's when they offer such escapes. I hope you've learned a thing or two today. I think I've spent a lot of time. Let us close.